Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Ken Barkley in just a moment, but I wanted to pass along the official announcement from Major League Baseball. Of course, they leak it to the national guys. That's how they operate. But here's the memo from MLB. Commissioner Rob Manfred announced today that Major League Baseball anticipates beginning its 2020 regular season approximately 1 month from today on July 23rd or July 24th. The announcement follows confirmation that the MLBPA has accepted the health and safety protocols that will guide MLB's return to play and that players will be able to report for training by July 1st. Moving ahead, MLB has submitted a 60-game regular season schedule for review by the Players Association. The proposed schedule will largely feature divisional play with the remaining portion of each club's games against their opposite league's corresponding geographical division. Okay, so East versus East, Central versus Central, West versus West, in order to mitigate travel. The vast majority of major league clubs are expected to conduct training at the ballparks in their primary home cities. One third of Major League Baseball in Florida, Arizona, Texas, and California. Just want to throw that in. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's go out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Shop over 500 new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. We welcome in Ken Barkley. Follow him on Twitter, at Locky Lockerson. What's going on, Ken?
Not much, Joe. How you doing? I appreciate actually, I hadn't heard the baseball statement yet. I knew baseball was back, but just listen to all the hoops they have to jump through. It's going to be crazy. I'm really curious to see what happens.
So the odds on favorite is they don't finish the season, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think with any sport that's not the one we're about to talk about really, or UFC or boxing or, you know, some of the other kind of fringe stuff, motorsports, with those exceptions, I think any professional league is going to have a really, really, if there's physical contact involved in your sport or anything, you're gonna have a really hard time. Yeah. I think pre-vaccine trying to get something going. I think the recent stats kind of bear that out.
Yeah, and they're trying to get 60 games in a matter of 66 days. There's going to be a lot of challenges, but at least they're giving it a go. Even though we should be seeing baseball in a week, instead we're going to see it in a month here. So these MLB win totals are going to come up. We'll get to the golf and break that down in just a second. But these books looking for some action on anything recently, they're going to post 60-game win totals. Are you going to do any homework on them? How about that?
I've thought about it. I've thought about what happens when some of these like adjusted markets open, basically adjusted futures, adjusted props for, you know, the way you would simulate a season isn't even close to the same way you would simulate this season. Maybe that means more edges. Maybe that means nobody has any idea what's going to happen. Makes it kind of interesting. But yeah, anytime there's always a lot of uncertainty, that means the market's not very stable, which means, yeah, I mean, if you're the guy who can find the edge that no one else finds before everyone realizes it, like, you don't have to be right. When we talk about golf in a second, this is going to be true too. You don't have to be right in terms of predict the exact score, predict the exact number of wins. You just have to beat the market number. Like, that's the goal. The goal is not to be 100% accurate. The goal is to just beat the market number. Maybe we can do that with baseball.
With that small sample size, the majority are going to be obviously high 20s, low 30s, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're, you know, over the course of 162 game season, you know, you would see obviously like, you know, mid 60% teams would be your excellent, you know, teams, obviously. You can kind of apply some of the same philosophy. You could even look at, you know, what was break last season into quarters, basically. Like, what were the Dodgers first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter last year? Those kind of spreads, those kind of like that kind of volatility in terms of record, you know, that's kind of what you could see in a 40 game season, provided, you know, pitchers are healthy and everything for a team. When you project forward, it's like a completely different toolbox that you'll need. You're kind of talking me into trying to figure it out. I don't know if I'm gonna take the time. I got a lot of golf on the plate, but you're making a strong sell right now. You're making a pretty good case.
Look, man, I mean, we know what's going to happen. Like, we're bettors at heart. We look at it, and we probably shouldn't bet on major league win totals in a 60-game season. But that's why I asked if you're going to at least do the research, because I know you're going to do the research and see if you have an edge somewhere.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot, and we'll see. And let's see what books post too. You know, or if you're a sports book, like, you're not. I know you make money by writing bets in general. At least a lot of the major books do, but. You know, you're also not one to just like want to write terrible bets and not have any idea, you know, what's going on. And normally you know, the market will shape whether you're right or you're wrong when you're a bookmaker and you put stuff up. But I'm not sure the market has any clue what's going to happen here either. So, I mean, it really could be the Wild West when some of this stuff comes out.
With Ken Barkley, Sports Radio 670, The Score. You may have heard him on radio.com sports. You better, you bet. Once in a great while, I'll co-host with them. Maybe we'll do that again if we ever
Absolutely.
Return to the show.
Right, exactly. Maybe December, January or something, we'll kick the tires on some more You Better, You Bet.
Right, yeah, when everybody else is on vacation. Let's talk about golf, man. You are making up for lost time. Congratulations with the PGA Tour. We have 2 weeks, and we have two outright winners from @LockyLockerson on Twitter. Since I'm assuming, since we have fewer sports, that you're investing much more time into the golf, you're talking to more people, figuring out your process. Has much changed to how you bet on golf or how you looked at golf in previous years?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a first time sport for me in terms of taking it very seriously. We're in the infancy here, and it's you know, probably going to get a little overconfident now that we've won two tournaments in a row. Head to heads are winning at an excellent clip. That's, you know, the market, obviously, where you bet on one golfer versus another for the tournament, that's going very well. That's generally a good measure of you know, whether you sort of have an advantage in the market or not to be able to win betting head-to-head. But this is all the first for me. So during COVID hiatus, I tried to just kind of figure out what would be the first thing to come back and what should I spend all my time building. And, you know, obviously you drop college sports immediately. We feel the least confident those are going to come back. I dropped baseball immediately. I thought they had no chance, especially with the labor strife going on. And I kind of ended up settling on golf for about 9 weeks. I just kept building new tools, gathering more data, organizing it, studying it, making charts, like figuring out how the markets work. And, you know, I think, you know, the good news is the results, you know, have borne out really well the first 2 weeks. And, you know, we'll try to do the same thing as we go into the Travelers here in Connecticut.
I mean, Ken, I think we were talking before COVID-19 shut down one night on You Better, You Bet, and you mentioned that you didn't bet a lot of golf, and that just really shocked me. But I know that you focus so much on NBA and college basketball, of course, college football, and everybody does the NFL. But it really shocked me because this is now, when you look at all the stats that are available, all the different numbers that a lot of people don't even know about, this is kind of like the ultimate data sport.
Yeah, there's just so much to go into. I think you make a really good point. I also, what a nice sort of dichotomy or a nice contrast where you read the baseball statement and, you know, you think about, like, what are we really going to see from all of these professional sports? I think golf is kind of having a moment a little bit here where it has the stage kind of all to itself. You have, you know, obviously UFC and motorsports and some stuff going on, but really, you know, Premier League soccer and Europe's playing soccer again, but golf really kind of has a stage here. And the first two tournaments have been incredibly dramatic. You have some storylines that are interesting. Obviously, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, who we'll talk about at some point, is I mean, just a human wrecking ball now, and just the visual of that is almost has almost captured a lot of sports fans' attention. So, you know, golf really kind of having a moment, and you mentioned the data real quick. Yeah, there are, if you like taking statistics and trying to figure out which ones are predictive and which ones aren't and which ones matter and which ones don't and those kind of things, golf has a never-ending supply of statistics that you can use to try to answer some of those questions.
So we've got travelers starting on Thursday morning, somewhat close to you in Connecticut. Chez Reavy, your winner last year. How do we break this one down? Because the stuff that you look at should change from course to course.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, spoiler alert, Chez Reavy, probably not your winner this year because the field probably a little bit more difficult. I mean, you know, for people who, especially people who are just like, oh, I'm kind of into golf now. What's up with this tournament? Like, I don't really watch a lot normally. This is, we're in a string of tournaments that are generally throwaway tournaments because they're placed around majors or other prominent tournaments throughout the calendar year. Now, with COVID and the reorganization of the calendar, all of these have now occurred consecutively, and it's, you know, kind of shown a light on these tournaments when previously there was not a light shown on them because every single amazing golfer is playing in them, and that generally doesn't happen. Travelers is generally a tournament that takes place the week after the U.S. Open. I mean, they get some names. It's not nobody's, but it's also not, you know, 38 of the best 40 players in the world, like what we have right now, basically, or, you know, 28 of the best 30. It's way different. And what you have to realize, same thing with these last two courses, we're just seeing lights out scoring because the quality of the field has improved to such a high degree. Normally, we're talking about, you know, with these courses, it's the composition, the field is a little bit easier, the golfers aren't as good. So we're talking about strategic shot selection and, you know, wind, is that going to be a factor? You know, Pete Dye courses, which basically just mean driving distance, not a factor as much as they would be on some other courses. So you're like, okay, who are kind of like the approach shot guys? Well, you know, these are how like kind of the casual bettor is approaching it. And then all these top golfers are just wrecking these courses. I mean, just absolute laying waste to greens and regulation. I think Abe Anser hit every, I think he's still hitting greens and regulation at Harbortown. So, I mean, it's just, it's going to be that kind of week again. Travelers at TPC River Highlands and here in Cromo, about 45 minutes away. This is a course where I think the last 3 years it's played as the easiest course on tour. I think Reavy shot a little under 20 under to win the tournament last year. And that's Chez Reavy and none of these guys. So, I mean, the fact that you have this field, it's going to be, if you liked last week, birdies, ton of scoring, made putts, great shot making, this course sets up for, I think, a lot more of the same.
A great point about these last couple of weeks and about typically the best players in the world are not playing these tournaments. So what does that mean for the better? Well, it means some great opportunity. Maybe you can get a burger ticket at 80-1 like you had a couple of weeks ago because those middle guys where you find a lot of winners, some of those numbers are going to be inflated because people are drawn into the very top of the board.
Right, absolutely. And when we talk about prices in a second, let's kind of remember, you know, let's kind of get everybody on the same page about what a price really means, right? It's sort of the implied probability that you're going to win the tournament. So if you have a price at, you know, 5-1, the market is saying you have a certain percentage chance, about 15-16% chance to win the tournament, right? So you would only make that bet if you thought that guy had a better percentage chance than that to win the tournament. And what you're saying about all the field and all the good golfers coming in and everything, you have Rory, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, Webb Simpson, Bryson, obviously, Patrick Reed, all these guys, when they're all in, like there's only so much win probability that you can right. put in. And obviously in the market, the numbers add up to way more than 100%. That's called the hold. And that's what, you know, that's how the bookmaker kind of makes money dealing the market. But even that notwithstanding, there's always so much win probability. And when you have so many good golfers in the field, the prices can only be so low on every single one of them. I mean, we saw 2 weeks ago, Dustin Johnson was trading at like 50-1 to win the tournament. Obviously, you know, coming up the knee injury, we saw Justin Rose trading at 40-50-1. Jason Day, who obviously has struggled, but Jason Day is more than 100-1 to win this tournament because, again, like just the quality of the names, guys coming in, Paul Casey playing in this tournament, didn't play the last 2 weeks. Patrick Cantlay playing in this tournament. He's a top 20 player. He's a top 15 player. You know, he's going to eat some of that win probability. So there are going to be prices to be found. This isn't, you know, Rory and a bunch of nobodies or something. So very competitive, and that makes betting on it really fun.
With Ken Barkley on Sports Radio 670, The Score. You find Ken from time to time on You Better You Bet. He will return at some point. But you can also find his work on Patreon. The link is on his Twitter account, at Lockie Lockerson. Puts out some of his great picks. I want to talk about your outright strategy, because there are many different ways to do this. There are some people that pick 5 to 6 golfers. Some people go in on 1 or 2, which is kind of like needle in a haystack stuff when you talk about these stacked fields. What is your outright strategy that has worked for you early on?
Basically, I run a sort of a giant simulation. I create numbers for each golfer in the field. So this week, that's whatever, 152. I think I ended up creating numbers for like 148. Brooks Koepka's brother, don't really have a lot of data on him to go off of, although his qualifier, I think, was just down the road from here, basically. I could have probably gone
Casey?
To see him.
Yes.
Yeah, and I had a really good story about the other qualifier, but I can't remember right now. It was a crazy day here in Connecticut, basically, on Monday with those two guys making it. So anyway, you make a number on each golfer, kind of try to figure out a score, a rating for each one. You simulate the tournament a number of times, and you try to figure out the probability each golfer will win. And wherever the value lies, that's how many golfers I'll bet, basically. I'm looking for about like a 1% edge or more versus what the market has listed. And, some weeks that's 3 guys, some weeks that's 9 guys, some weeks that's, you just basically try to stagger the amounts. You're basically creating what I'd call like a basket of futures bets that all pay the same no matter who wins. So, for example, last week I think I had 5 golfers. I had Sung J.M. and Patrick Reed, who both missed the cut, but then also had Bryson, Daniel Berger, and Webb Simpson. And you might be like, well, wait, all 5 of those guys, what did that pay? Well, if you had equal to win amounts at whatever the best prices were listed, you basically got about, between plus 350 and plus 450, between 4-1 and 5-1 on your money if any of those golfers won. So that's kind of how I'm building generally. And, you hear 90-1, you think, oh my God, like $1 million, you must have won so much money. But generally, I think you're going to be able to find more than one golfer with a little bit of an edge in the field, and you just kind of stack those guys together as best you can, to create, the most profitable basket of futures possible, basically.
Which golfers do you like this weekend?
I was waiting for the question. I was waiting to just, rattle off some things that stood out this week. I think I'm going to get just a rash of crap from some of our common friends and stuff if this guy really bombs out this weekend, because, first 2 tournaments, I run the simulation. The prices all look very normal. They're pretty close to the market. Everything seems like it's working okay, right? Maybe 1% off here, 2% off here. So I run the simulation for this tournament, and I had to run it again and then again just to make sure that I was seeing it correctly. It's like, wait, what? What's going on here? Bryson DeChambeau is currently listed around between 11-1 and 12-1 to win the tournament. That means the market thinks, he's going to win. You have to think he's going to win more than about 8.5% of the time if you want to make that bet. That would be a valuable bet if you thought he was going to win more than 8% of the time. I think he's going to win 16% of the time in my simulation. That is by light years the largest edge I've had in the 3 tournaments so far. Previous largest edge was probably like 2.5% or something on Daniel Berger a couple weeks ago. And it's formed by the fact that all of his numbers, especially this is heavily weighted toward recent form. So since they've gotten back, but even, 20, 25, 30 rounds before that, his numbers just are light years better than everyone else's. His numbers blow away Rory and Justin Thomas, who are the next 2 most likely winners, and Rahm, who actually has not been particularly amazing, and Webb Simpson, who missed the cut 2 weeks ago. So, while all these guys have stumbled in some way, shape, or form, maybe with the exception of Justin Thomas, Bryson is just mashing and is consistently mashing, and his numbers have only gotten better, really. So maybe unsurprisingly, I guess, but just to have that big of a difference is weird for me. And so, obviously Bryson is an easy bet for me this week.
There's nothing to do with him being the mad scientist.
No, and nothing to do with him transforming into the Incredible Hulk. True story, he did play a practice round today. So many people might have seen this on Twitter. Travelers, much like we saw last week with Brooks Koepka, par 4, hits the drives it on the green, basically, on a par 4. There's a couple holes like that at this course that lend itself to that behavior if you want to take that approach or strategy. And Bryson tried to drive it over water on a 400-yard par 4 today and actually cleared the green and went like into the rough, like got over the water. And then after the round was like it's too risky to do it in an actual round, so I'm not sure. But just to give you kind of a sneak peek of some things like what happens when he's down three shots going to the back nine on Sunday. Maybe we're busting out the driver. We're trying some of that stuff. It definitely brings a new element kind of into the golf world that we haven't really had before.
Ken, maybe it's bad advice, but people that reach out to me that are just starting to dip their toe, they want to bet a little bit on the PGA Tour to see what it's like, to get a sweat going. I suggest that they look to the matchups to start. Any sure. matchups that you really like this week?
I've started running my numbers, so I do have, you know, some bets to talk about. Basically, I first of all would 100% agree with that analysis. When you're betting into a futures market, most futures markets at least, the hold, which is sort of like the bookmaker built-in advantage that, you know, basically how much money they want to make from the market, basically, that's how much mm-hmm. they'll put in, is extremely high in, you know, outrights, which is the market to win the tournament, top five, top 10, top 20, all these markets that people like betting into. You're actually just at a huge disadvantage when you're betting into most of them. Whereas a head-to-head where you can kind of see very clearly what the price displayed is, probably 20-cent lines, meaning minus 110 each way, maybe 30-cent lines, depending on where you play or whatever. At least you have a really good idea of just how the bookmaker is gouging you or if they're gouging you. So I would also recommend head-to-heads as just that's the foundation. That's almost the end-all be-all, honestly, of golf betting. That's where almost all of your bankroll should be tied if you are betting golf. I would always recommend head-to-head.
Yes.
A couple things that stand out. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be bigger on Bryson than everybody else. He's even money against Rory for the full tournament. He's minus 120 against Justin Thomas for the full tournament. I'll have both of those. I'm very, very big on Patrick Cantlay this week, actually, versus other golfers in that tier. So you'll find him against Justin Rose as a dog, actually. You'll find him as a dog against Xander Schauffele, which I actually really disagree with. Cantlay not only has kind of just class and form that is also the equal of these guys, but he also, in so many of the key statistics that kind of lend themselves to the course, is really exemplary. I mean, you look at, you know, strokes gained tee to green or strokes gained ball striking, really. You look at par four scoring, you know, birdie or better percentage putting, like all those kind of things. These are all things which, when you bring them to this course in Connecticut, you tend to do a little bit better. And he thrives at basically all of them. His profile is excellent for this course versus these other guys. So Cantlay, a guy I haven't talked about. I mean, Bryson we know about already, but he'd be another guy I'd kind of be looking at. Maybe a top 10 if you could find the right price, but really in some of these head-to-heads against these other guys.
By the way, some news coming out. Charlie Blackmon and two other Rockies have tested positive for coronavirus after workouts at Coors Field. Get used to those.
It'll be a familiar refrain, I think, as we go yes. forward here with professional sports. Yep. We're going to be hearing a lot of that.
No question. Joe Ostrowski with Ken Barkley talking about the PGA Tour this weekend. What else are you betting on right now, Ken? Anything coming up that you're looking at?
In terms of golf or in terms of other sports or both?
Just other sports. Anything on the board. What's got your eye?
Sure. I've dipped my toe in the water on a lot of things during this, as I'm sure a lot of people who are prone to betting have done. I have friends who I used to work with at ESPN who have become the most degenerate horse racing players you could possibly imagine. I have kids during, you know, that I obviously, you know, kind of have during the day with my wife. So I can't really, you know, dabble in the horses as much. Obviously we got two young kids running around. Can't really be cheering at the track, but I would say I've gotten into esports a little bit, tried to model that, beat that, had some kind of mixed results with that, which has been kind of interesting. But the biggest thing for me has been NFL win totals and prepping work on that. I kind of became convinced that the NFL season is going to happen in some way, shape, or form, and might actually happen all 16 games. I go back and forth on how confident I am in that, but let's just say I'm much more confident in that than in college football having full 12-game regular seasons where we could grade win total tickets. So I really started putting in a ton of work on NFL win totals, prepping my numbers for the NFL, and putting in some bets there.
I like to close in this segment with any advice, because we have a lot of new bettors. This past Thursday, we got legal mobile and online launching with Bet Rivers, and that's going to continue over the next year. There are some that believe there's going to be 15 different books operating in Illinois at this time next year. Any advice that you'd want to share with new bettors?
Oh, man. I mean, just do we have 45 minutes for me to answer this question?
I know it's a lot of there's a lot of layers, but we can, you know, this is probably a good long form conversation that we can have on the air at some point. But just a couple,
give you like
of
a 60
pointers.
Second or a 90 second for the casual people out there.
Sure.
Let me give you like a minute here. Just again, you know, you brought it up, and maybe people are like, well, don't bail out. At least answer the question. My quickest answer would just be, you know, why are you betting, basically? If you're betting because it's fun and you want to mess around and have action on a game, which is incredibly fun, that's why I bet horses sometimes and I have no idea what I'm doing. And I totally understand that I have no idea what I'm doing. And it's, you know, like when you play a slot machine, you bring a certain amount of money, you expect to lose all the money, then you won't be disappointed when all the money's gone. If that's you, I wish you the best of luck. It's really fun. Betting on sports can be a very fun experience. If you're interested in taking it a little bit more seriously, I would just say bankroll management would be the first thing. You know, set aside an amount of money and tell yourself that, you know, especially until you can quantify your edge effectively, you're going to only bet 1% of your bankroll on every bet that you make. And that way, no matter if you get too high or too low or too drunk, or you want to bet halftime lines because you're down $1 million, or you want to bet in-play stuff, like this will prevent you hopefully from a lot of those negative behaviors that, you know, kind of strike at a lot of casual bettors. So, you know, bankroll management. And then also I would pick one thing. Again, this is just if you want to take it a little more seriously. Last mm-hmm. piece of advice. If you want to bet, just pick one market, one thing, not even NBA. You got to get way more specific than that. Maybe not even totals, maybe like third quarter totals or some really obscure prop or something. And like absolutely dedicate yourself to becoming the expert of that very small thing. Like know more about that thing than anyone knows about anything. You know, become the absolute expert on runs scored in the first inning of a baseball game, or how many RBIs players on the Orioles are going to get, or something like that. And by getting that obscure, you will probably actually be able to gain a level of expertise faster that will allow you to beat that market than you would if you picked NFL games or NBA totals or something where the limits are astronomical and your competition is much more fierce.
Give me something obscure that you focused on at some point in your betting career. And it worked out.
There's an unnamed offshore where 3 years ago, I basically kind of cleaned them out on hockey props. So all I was doing was just projecting saves for teams, not even goalies, just saves for teams, shots on goal for specific players. I did some like goal assist scored yes, no stuff for hockey. Just again, I picked one, then I beat that, then I picked another, then I picked that. And I am not allowed to bet those particular bets at that particular place anymore as a result of kind of, you know, taking some money off their hands. But that's the point. Once you get that confidence and you kind of know how the system works, okay, then you move up baby step by baby step. Okay, then maybe you take a prop market in a bigger sport, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's kind of how you work your way up. And again, by starting small, like, you know, you give yourself such a better chance of success that will give you the motivation to want to keep going.
That's great advice. Ken Barkley at Lockerson on Twitter. Thank you so much, Ken. It was fun.
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
We'll do this again soon. As you could tell, he's got so much knowledge in the world of sports betting, and that's why he's on the You Better You Bet show. There's Ken Barkley going for 3 for 3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.